It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good evening to you. It really is just another indication of the level of the threat that is coming from North Korea and how that threat has changed compared to regimes in the past. An absolutely extraordinary scene here at the White House this afternoon as busloads of senators arrived in the West Executive Drive here at the White House and made their way into a briefing room at the Eisenhower Executive Office Building for what was a very long briefing on North Korea. The briefers, the top advisors to the president on diplomacy, national security, intelligence, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, Jim Mattis, the Pentagon Chief, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joe Dunford. The President invited all 100 senators down to the EEOB, a senior administration telling Fox News it was to fully communicate the threat from North Korea, let them ask questions of the President's national security team to better understand the nature of that threat, also to outline what the administration has been doing to address the looming threat from North Korea. They were told that the United States is pursuing a combination of economic actions to isolate the regime along with military preparations that the White House would not go into, at least not publicly. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware was at that briefing. He says that the presentation was, quote, sobering.
It's clear that Kim Jong-un intends to develop both nuclear weapons and the capability to deliver them against the American mainland. At some point, that will be a very pressing national security concern.
White House officials say they are also getting better concern and better cooperation, rather, from China than in years past since the meeting that the president had with President Xi Jinping. They're getting better cooperation on enforcing U.N. sanctions against North Korea, according to a senior administration official, a clear effort in the Chinese media to communicate North Korea's bad behavior, and that the existence of these North Korean programs cannot be tolerated. Two big changes on China's part, according to a senior administration official, an acknowledgement of the level of the threat that's coming from North Korea and a willingness to take steps that it hasn't in the past to try to rein in North Korea.
All right, that was John Roberts, and that was actually a very good report. Sandy Rios with you, and of course, he described very well what happened yesterday when 50 senators, minus their staff, they were there to be briefed without their staff, which is very unusual. And they heard firsthand from Marine Corps General Joseph Dunford and the others that John listed, National Security Team, about the threats of North Korea. You know, North Korea has nothing to lose. Certainly Kim Jong-un has nothing to lose. If he doesn't, you know, continue his bluster in developing nuclear weapons, he doesn't have anything. You know, if he should back off, his reputation is at stake, and he's a little bit nuts, shall we say. And, you know, the people of North Korea have been primed for decades to hate America. They're eager. They're ready. I see a whole picture here of Special Operations Forces trained by North Korea. They say they're formidable. And they have as many Special Operations Forces as we have Marines. We've cut our military so much. And so I think it is a very, if it weren't a real threat, which I know it is because we've been being warned about this since at least the early 2000s, then the president would not have invited the senators to the White House, and you wouldn't hear someone like Chris Coons, who's been a real critic, talking about how serious it is. And China, my understanding is they claimed with the president that they don't have as much leverage over Kim Jong-un as perhaps the United States thought. Of course, I think the leverage is that North Korea does most of their trading with China, so China's going to have to get really tough in order to stop this. But and you also have to know that North Korea is working with Iran. Iran is such a bad actor, shall we say? Shall I just remind you? They have been sort of working together to develop nuclear weapons. Oh, I'm going to have trouble this morning, I think. Let's talk. Let's move, change the subject. Let's go to the tax plan that the president announced yesterday. This is a report from Garrett Tenney.
The White House's big announcement yesterday on its proposed tax reform, which it calls the biggest tax cut in American history. And if it goes through, it could make filing taxes a whole lot simpler as well. Here are some of the highlights of the president's proposal. Rather than the current 7 tax brackets, there would now be only 3 brackets at 10, 25, and 35%. The plan also doubles the standard deduction for married couples to $24,000, but it also eliminates nearly all deductions apart from those for mortgage interest and contributions to charity. There's good news for businesses as well. The corporate tax rate, which is currently the highest in the world, will drop from 35% to 15%. And several other current taxes will also be repealed, including the Obamacare tax on small businesses and investment income, as well as the estate tax or death tax, as it's called. Now, this plan, it still needs to pass through Congress, though, and Democrats, they're already calling it a tax cut for the rich that they cannot support. But Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is pushing back on that assessment.
This is all about creating jobs and growing the economy. And on the personal side, this is about tax simplification and about limiting deductions. So although the rate is coming down on the top end to 35%, there will be many, many deductions gone. Matter of fact, we're taking all deductions out other than mortgage interest and charitable donations. So effectively, the effective tax rate will not be a reduction for the rich.
Now, this, of course, is just the initial proposal, the outline, if you will. A lot of details not in there that will need to come out before the rest of Congress can fully weigh in on that plan and get on board or not.
All right, that was Garrett Tenney. Good report. And actually, you know, this is very interesting, and it's very bold, I have to say, because the tax code has been 30 years since it's been overhauled at all. And since that time, they've added nearly 4 million words, and they've added 6,000 changes, which is more than one per day. And so that's why it costs you and I so much. And say, in fact, they're estimating that taxpayers spend nearly 7 billion hours and over $250 billion annually just in compliance. And of course, we have the highest rate on our businesses of any free market in the Western world, 35%, which has put a great burden. And that's why a lot of businesses have gone offshore, overseas, to do their business, because it just doesn't make sense economically. So Donald Trump's trying to bring those people back home, those businesses back home. When they say tax cuts for the rich, just keep in mind that just only about 50% of Americans pay taxes. And we are technically the rich, really, compared to the poor parts of our country. And so technically, you know, the Democrats are right, but the other half doesn't pay anything. And so, and also we know that the top 1% pays most of the taxes. I think the top 5% certainly pays most of the tax revenue that comes into the Treasury. So, of course, if there's going to be major tax cuts, it's going to be the wealthy, because they're the ones that are paying the taxes. So, you know, it's just words. There are a lot of things. I think Garrett gave you some good ideas. I'm not going to go break this down. You could find that information in other places. Certainly for all of us, it would be welcome relief to have some tax relief, to have the percentages go down, have the deductions made simpler, the tax forms made simpler. The question remains whether we can survive these kinds of cuts. What the gamble is, whether that in itself will cause the economy to jumpstart so much, businesses coming back to the country, people creating jobs, manufacturing coming back, then can we create enough, can we grow our economy enough to make up for the loss of that tax revenue? And that's what President Trump is and his team are banking on. So, you know, it's a bold move. I'd be in for the bold move if you ask me what I would do personally. I'm not an economist. I've said that before. You know that. But it's a very bold proposal. And if it doesn't work and we see that the economy's not jump-started, then we'd have to reimpose taxes. We are in terrible straits in terms of our debt. There's no question about it. And it's going to take a bold move to get that deficit handled. And it's going to take growth in the economy. And I always, you know, this I have learned. You know, there is not a fixed amount of money being made in the world. There's not a fixed amount of wealth or it's something that can be increased. So the left sort of puts it like there's a fixed amount, and the rich have all of it, and the poor have none of it. But it's not really true, because when things are sort of orchestrated financially the way they need to be, wealth grows. It doesn't, the pie increases. It's a bigger pie, and there's more money. And it isn't that same pie is the same shape and same size every time, and some people have more of it and others have less of it. The pie can grow, and the economy can grow. And so that's what they're banking on. A couple of other interesting things the president did yesterday. He did an executive order reversing Barack Obama's attempts to take hundreds of thousands of acres of Western land and declare them under the Antiquities Act. I'm not exactly sure what the verbiage is, but they were snatched by the federal government. So the Western states have been reeling under this. There's so much of their land they can't do anything with, because the federal government, I think Bill Clinton started this. So the president is trying to reverse that, and that's really good news for people who live out west. So a lot of things, needless to say, President Trump is a whirlwind of activity. And that, you know, brings me to, you know, the first 100 days. And I think we're going to open the phone lines today, because we haven't talked. I have so much to tell you, but I'm going to try to make it concise. That's a challenge. And I'd love to know what you think about how the president is doing. I mean, we could talk about anything that I've mentioned, any questions or comments that you have. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. But it is very important to know how you think, what you think about how President Trump is doing. The pundits can say all they want, but it really matters what the people think. And so we'll open the phone lines to do that. Now, back to the budgeting. This, I have much to say about this, and I just must get this in. The Congress has agreed, look, funding for the government will be gone. It's up as of midnight on Friday night. That's just the way they've set it up. They have taken us to the cliff, it seems to me, ever since John Boehner was Speaker of the House. It's the House who handles all of this. And for whatever reason, they do not proceed with regular order, meaning they've not been giving themselves enough time to examine and think and work together, knowing that the budget is going to have to be approved at a certain date. They wait till the last minute, and what they do, I'll tell you exactly what they do. Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Mitch McConnell meet in a room, and they decide, and then they let their members know last minute, and then if the members have a problem with anything, they blame them. They say there'll be a shutdown. If you don't agree with all of these things, there's going to be a shutdown. So those four people have a lot of burden and a lot of answering to do for the stuff that they're doing. However, I would say, even to take it further, that what we have here is a situation of blackmail on the part of the Democrats. And the Republicans have been letting them do this every single cycle. So what's happening with this budget? I'll tell you what's happening with this budget. They've decided on what they call a short-term CR. That's a continuing resolution, which means they don't have to meet their deadline on Friday. They have another week to do it. But that doesn't mean anything's going to get any better. And they've decided they're going to fund sanctuary cities. They're going to fully fund Obamacare. They're going to fund refugee resettlement. They're going to fund Planned Parenthood. Oh, but they're not going to fund the border wall. They're not going to fund more border security or border patrol agents. They're not going to fund a military buildup, because the Democrats say they're not going to agree to that. And there's a midnight deadline, and you're going to be blamed for the shutdown. So we're not going to go for that. So the Democrats are getting tons. They're getting everything they want. The Republicans are getting what? No government shutdown and not being blamed. And they're so relieved. So basically, the leadership is playing on the same team, and they're pulling this wool over our eyes every single time. And I don't think the president really understands that they are kind of on the same team, this swamp in Washington. And so something has to change. I'll come back and say more about that in just a second. But again, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Pre-order your copy today at afastore.net.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. When my father was 17 years of age, he left home, went to a recruiting station, lied about his age, and volunteered for the United States Navy. The reason? Two of his brothers were already engaged in military action in World War II, and he wanted to be there representing his country as well. When his father found out what he had done, he went to the recruiter, signed a waiver, and said, "If my son wants to go, I am backing him 100%. My father is representative of a generation, an age, a time when men all over the United States freely volunteered for freedom. They believed in America. They believed in godly principles, and they believed in fighting for freedom with their lives, their hearts, and their commitment. We need more of that today. We need to uphold a godly nation. America is the evangelism center of the world. It needs to stay free, strong, and alive for God's glory." You can learn more at ChooseGreatness.com, ChooseGreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
Conservative commentator Ann Coulter is scheduled to speak later today at the University of California, Berkeley. And there's no need to mince words. There could be trouble. University administrators had canceled the speech, fearing they could not guarantee Ms. Coulter's safety, nor the safety of conservative students on campus. Young America's Foundation and the College Republican sponsored Ms. Coulter's visit. They say they will not be bullied or intimidated by the militant liberal activist. The College Republicans and Young America's Foundation should be commended for taking such a public stand in defense of the First Amendment. As I wrote in my book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, political storm clouds are gathering. Pew Research says 40% of millennials believe there should be limitations placed on free speech. It's bad enough liberals want to silence ideology they disagree with, but now they're labeling that ideology as hate speech. It's a very disturbing and dangerous trend, and one that does not bode well for the future of free speech in America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Just a few words about that budget before I go to the phone lines. It's always nice to talk to you, so I look forward to it. CNS News has a headline here. It says the GOP fund planned... Will the GOP fund Planned Parenthood but not the border wall? Well, the answer is yes. It's exactly what they're doing. And by the way, Trump's request for a border wall equals 0.035% of the 2017 federal budget. That's all it is. But they can't do that, you see. They just can't give him the bit of money that he's asking for the border wall. And I want to read to you from a conservative HQ's article yesterday, which we're going to put on our Facebook page because I want you to see this and be able to share it. And the title is Paul Ryan's Betrayals Define Trump's 100 Days. And then he goes on, unfortunately, as things stand right now, everything candidate Donald Trump campaigned against and everything that his voters expected him to protect them from is in the budget and about to be funded for the rest of the year. And almost nothing that the president promised he would do is in the budget and set to be funded and implemented in this fiscal year. What the president has not grasped yet, and the Capitol Hill insiders on his team aren't telling him, is that the Democrats will threaten to filibuster everything the president wants, and the Capitol Hill Republican establishment will go along with it because when it comes to the president's conservative, populist agenda, they are on the same side as the Democrats. That's why the purported attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare was such a spectacular failure. From a strictly policy perspective, Ryan and the House leadership had zero interest in repealing the Obamacare cost drivers that have wrecked the private insurance market. So then it talks about the other legislative things. As expected, Democrats oppose it, and if they will continue to oppose it no matter how much the president reaches across the aisle. But so did Speaker Ryan, quite vociferously, we might add. Trump's opposition to Syrian refugee resettlement? That's not us, said Ryan. Defending Planned Parenthood? Ryan has squelched that every time it has come up. The border wall? As our friend Cheryl Chumley of WorldNet Daily reported back in 2015, soon after Ryan was elected speaker, a border wall, complete with a security patrol, went up around his private home in Wisconsin. But funding for the 2006 Secure Fence Act, which would have put a double-layer fence along a 700-mile stretch of U.S. border property, was dropped from the omnibus spending bill by Ryan, rammed through the House. As the president's 100-day mark approaches for once the judgments of the establishment media and his supporters will be in alignment without funding for the border wall and his other priorities and with the continued funding of many Obama-Clinton policies he campaigned against. The president's first 100 days will be judged a failure. Now, they're talking about his legislative record. And these policy failures are indicators of a more fundamental failure on the part of the president, as well-intentioned and committed to his agenda as he may be. He has failed to grasp that Paul Ryan is the author of these failures, not because he's an inept speaker, but because he's on the other side. And I think that's fair, and I think it's accurate. And we're going to put it on our Facebook page, and you can share it. Okay, enough of that. I want to talk to you. What do you think about all the things that are happening right now, about the president's first 100 days, whatever it is you want to talk about? Let's go to Connie in Missouri. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to let you know, Sandy, I am so proud of our United States of America president. He is a true, true believer in America, and he just wants to do everything he possibly can in order to get us back to where we was, instead of where we're trying to go through a lot of ill-mannered people.
All right.
And
so
I just thank him, but I thank God, because God has put him there for a reason, and we are beginning to see that reason.
All right, Connie, thank you. So you give him an A. You think he's doing a great job. All right, let me go to Broderick in North Carolina. Good morning, Broderick.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, first, I'll just like to say you have a great ministry and listen to you virtually every day.
Thank you.
The situation with Congress and Senate is we're going to get the same we always been getting. I do believe the Republicans are in bed with the Democrats and they're just milking us. You know, you got these career politicians that are there for selfish reasons. We have got to put term limits on these people. That's the only way we're going to drain the swamp. And it'll probably take a decade to get rid of all of them. But that's something the American public has got to, you know, somebody needs to step up, AFR or you. Let's get a petition together and get, because everybody I talk to believes the same thing. We've got to get these career politicians out of Washington.
Yeah, I agree, Broderick. You know, I'll tell you a little anecdote. And I'll name a name, as a matter of fact. There was a small meeting with the president, and Reince Priebus was there, and so were a few others. And so it was reported to the president that some really bad people are in place in various agencies. And I think a special emphasis was placed on holdovers from the Obama administration who were, and I will just mention, you probably heard me, Broderick, talk about the mistake out of state just last week, where Tillerson issued a letter saying that Iran was in complete compliance, and then less than 24 hours later, he was in front of a microphone explaining why Iran is such a no, you know, and we're going to reexamine the treaty. And I have to tell you that President Trump, when he heard about the letter that went to Congress saying that Iran was in compliance, was furious. But the reason that happened is because at state, there are people still there, especially one woman in particular, in this issue, overseeing the Iran policy. And she's from the Obama administration. And so President Trump, from my report from this meeting, looked at Reince and said, I can't tell you exactly, he used a very strong word. Just say a strong word. Not vulgar. Reince. And then Reince told him, oh, they'll all be gone by next Friday. No worry, they'll all be gone by next Friday. Well, of course, that was probably a month ago, and that's can possibly happen. It's not true. And so this is what he's surrounded with. And you have to understand, you know, even though he's watching some television, he has to believe what his advisors are telling him. So this is how rotten things have gotten. And I think we have to pray, honestly, that President Trump somehow, the truth can break through to him, that he is surrounded by people that don't have his best interest at heart. And so so that's I'm giving you inside information, and there it is. Broderick, thanks a lot. Adam, I'm having some trouble again here. Sorry, we're having a little technical problem this morning. And so while Adam, here we go. It's back. Here we go. Hey, Shirley from Tennessee. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, and praise the Lord. I'm doing well. I want to thank God for the Sandy Rios show. You know I'm a big fan and supporter always. And
thank
much
you,
love
Shirley.
To you all.
Thank you.
I have a feeling within my heart, and I just wanted to ask you a question and get your thought about this, because we're living in a day where Daniel's see the iron and clay are coming true. Everybody wants to rule North Korea, Iran, China, the Pope, Republicans, Democrats. Everybody wants to be on top. And so when you got all these chiefs and no Indians, you know what happens. You can't keep a nation going that way. But his statue told us that we would never come together, even until the rock cut out of the mountain, which is Christ, comes. We'll never come together. But in any case, it seems like we have elected a bunch of Democrats in Republicans' clothing. And so what I wanted to know is, do you feel this tax reform that's going to happen is in light of the fact that it's giving big businesses big cuts, which is, I'm sure everybody is getting a cut, and I think it's wonderful. I think that's going to help a lot of people if it works. But if it doesn't, it almost feels to me like we're being handed a partial socialism, because if it doesn't work, somebody has to pay taxes. Somebody has to pay. So, and the fact that we got nothing that we wanted almost in this whole deal, it just makes me wonder, are we just, you know, just being led and dangled by carrot in front of us until we fall into the ditch? I mean, what's your thought about that?
Well, separate in your mind, the tax program is a proposal by the president and his financial team. That's not coming out of Congress. The budget that I talked about and that I'm telling you is turning out to be so bad is all coming out of Congress. So they're two separate entities. I don't believe that the tax cuts, Shirley, are not socialistic. In fact, I think what we probably have now is closer to socialism, when we have half of our people not paying anything and just living off government money. Really, it's basically what it is, and that's varying degrees of whatever kind of we're all getting, probably some sort of benefit from government, which there is a limit, and that is really socialism, when the government starts paying for everything more and more. So I think this, now what's happening in the Congress with the budget, yes, they're always advancing, like the Republican leadership on the health care. They promised us they would repeal Obamacare. They ran on it. They got elected on it. And they were lying. They were lying. Because when it was handed to them and they could do it, they won't do it. And that's why the Freedom Caucus, it's another thing I haven't mentioned yesterday, actually, you know, they brought the bill as far to the right as they could possibly bring it. There's an amendment into the bill that says that states can opt out of Obamacare and kind of set up their own, as long as they set up pools to take care of what they call high-risk pools for people that are have really serious illness, states can opt out. So I think a lot of red states will opt out, and I think a lot of blue states are going to stay in. That's a very uneven thing to do. It is still wrong, but there's so much pressure. Like the Freedom Caucus are the bad guys because they want a free market solution. They don't want socialistic health care. But the leadership, why, they're all about it. They didn't even want to repeal Obamacare when they could. So I don't know if I've answered your question, Shirley, but I think one thing I want to hammer home to all of you, this is what's happening and has been happening now since at least Boehner was Speaker. I remember it well. This is the pattern. They use it every time, and it works every time, unless you get really smart. And I know you will because you guys listen very actively, and you act on what you know. The way the leadership has maintained their control is that they will go into a district and they will recruit a candidate that they know will do their bidding. But that candidate then turns around and talks like a conservative. They'll defund Planned Parenthood. They'll do away with Obamacare. They'll fight the president's illegal executive orders on immigration, fill in the blank, blah, blah, blah. And then, in addition to that, they will use whatever resources they have to find something that is salacious about the conservative in the race. And it might be true and it might not be. It doesn't have to be true. And they will plant an article in a local newspaper claiming affairs, graft, corruption, a conviction, whatever they have to come up with. And so they will sully the conservative, and then conservative voters like you and I go, oh, well, I didn't know that about him. That's kind of, and here's this other guy, and he says he's going to repeal, and there's nothing on him as far as we know. And so this has worked time after time after time after time. So many of the people who are serving in the House right now are there as a result of that process. And as soon as they got to Washington, they totally shook any kind of commitment they had made. They are in the so-called Tuesday group in Washington. They are part of Speaker Ryan's leadership team, and they push for the same things that Democrats push for. Now, that's a long answer, but that really, hopefully, surely will kind of fill in the blanks. Any comments on that before I let you go?
No, I thank you for that. It sounds exactly like what we're seeing, and that's what's so troubling, is that they're not. It's almost as if we have a body of people there, minus a few, who really are not caring very much about their own country. If this place goes down, they're going with it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny. It's like they don't. It's like they don't really care. I don't know. You know, I guess it's always been the case. If you see all these historical movies, people in power have always kind of been this way. Like they see the Nazis, you know, marching or taking over territory, and they don't want to do anything about it. And they, meanwhile, privately, they're piling up treasures for themselves and making an escape plan for themselves. But to heck with the people. I mean, it seems to be the wickedness of human nature, and I think that's what we're seeing. But now you guys are smart, you guys are informed. And there will be an election in 2018. And so the things you're going to have to say to yourselves when you hear these news stories break in these local papers to destroy who you thought was the really conservative, you've got to think twice about whether you're going to believe that. And you're going to have to dig a little deeper. Maybe we can help you do that. I certainly am going to do everything I can to stop this. Shirley, thanks a lot. It's great to talk to you. We're going to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning. By the way, 888-589-8840 is our number. 888-589-8840. Right back after this.
Oh,
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Fruit is proof that a tree is alive and thriving. In the same way, when we're rooted in the Holy Spirit, our faith produces fruit. We can't generate godly virtues by our own strength. Listen Monday through Friday as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Candidate Donald Trump ran against Obama-Clinton malfeasance regarding what he calls radical Islamic terrorism. Now, President Trump's administration appears to be perpetuating his predecessor's extremely dangerous practice of allowing Islamists to shape government policy. Investigative reporter Paul Sperry reveals at Front Page Magazine that the Pentagon chose a Sharia supremacist military chaplain with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood to decide whether a highly skilled trainer's materials offend Muslims, as claimed by the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. Never mind that CARE was founded by Hamas, a designated terrorist organization proven in court to be a Brotherhood front. Rather than do CARE's bidding and purge the trainer, Patrick Dunleavy, Donald Trump needs to purge his administration of Brotherhood operatives and their enablers, not perpetuate Team Obama's appalling practice of employing and submitting to them. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I announce my candidacy for the United States Senate.
Amen.
My position has always been God first, family, then country. But you know, before we can make America great again, we've got to make America good again.
Right.
Our first president, in his farewell address, said it very simply, that virtue or morality is the necessary spring of popular government. Who that is a sincere friend to it can look with indifference on attempts to shake the foundation of the fabric. I know, and I think you do too, that the foundations of the fabric of our country are being shaken tremendously. Our families are being crippled by divorce and abortion. Our sacred institution of marriage has been destroyed by a Supreme Court, and our rights and liberties are in jeopardy. And the Constitution we were sworn to uphold since 1965 on the banks of the Hudson River at West Point is being ignored by judges who have put themselves above the Constitution, by judges and justices of the United States Supreme Court who have ignored it. If we simply recognize what's in the Constitution, we can return to a better government. Socialized medicine, Common Core education, they're not in the power of the federal government. As a United States Senator, I will continue to stand for the rights and liberties, not only of this state, but of its people as well. I will defend those rights and liberties under the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. Amen. I thank you.
All right, that was the voice of Chief Justice Roy Moore, and that was him yesterday announcing that he's going to run for Senate. Speaking of good men needed to serve in Washington, this is a good man who will not bow to the pressures of Washington. He's been around the block enough. He has paid the price repeatedly for standing for what's right. I would eagerly look forward to seeing Justice Roy Moore in the Senate, and, you know, he just might win. I'll go into that a little bit more. Actually, Monday, he's going to join us, and we'll have a long conversation about him, what's happened with him recently, and about throwing his hat in the ring. The special election is in August for the runoff against him and Luther Strange, who was appointed to fill that seat. Luther was the attorney general. And the problem is, I think, Alabamans, as I understand it, are disenchanted with Luther Strange because it appears as though he covered up some of the... He did not vigorously investigate Governor Bentley and his corruption charges and his charge of adultery with one of his staffers. And so people are upset about that. And Luther Strange is now planning on... He was appointed to fill Jeff Sessions' seat, and now he wants to run in the special election. But now Chief Justice Moore, who is, you know, the really... has a sterling reputation in terms of his own character. It looks like he'll challenge Luther Strange in August, and then the final runoff is in early December. So we'll talk about that on Monday morning, but be encouraged. There are good men. There are so many good men, and we just need to identify them and then support them. We have an alert from AFA. Just came in. Here's the alert. It says it's to tell Congress to pass the bill to defund Planned Parenthood. And in reading this, and this I this is something I didn't know, but the healthcare bill agreed to by the Freedom Caucus defunds Planned Parenthood, withholds the majority of funding to Planned Parenthood, the majority of funding. And so AFA is asking you and me to urge Congress to defund Planned Parenthood by voting yes on this American Healthcare Act. And because it's going to go through on a method called reconciliation, they don't need the Democrats to approve. So that's why they could actually do that, defund most of Planned Parenthood. So if you have not signed up for action alerts from AFA, you should do that because they're not going to overwhelm you. They are very measured in what they send out, and it makes it very easy for you to respond to your congressperson. So go to afaaction.net, afaaction.net, sign up for the alerts and become an active part of us so that we can, you know, grow our ranks and have even more impact as we sort of slug our way through what's happening every single day. All right, let's go to Indiana and talk to John. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sandy. God bless Judge Roy Moore.
Yeah, really.
I'm calling, my pastor has always said everything rises and falls on leadership, and Bush 43 said personnel is policy, and that's the problem. We've got a lot of people lip-syncing the words of conservatism, but it's not coming from their heart. Thank God for Justice Moore, and maybe the Lord let him step aside from his responsibilities there so that he could use the rest of the years of his life bringing that message to the nation. But I'm concerned right now we still got a lot of Obama holdovers in the Defense Department. Until a couple weeks ago, the only political appointee he had in there was Secretary of Defense Mattis, and the committee is considering right now a Secretary of the Army that's almost as good as Jerry Boykin, a man named Green that was involved in the capture and interrogation of Saddam Hussein, is being held up by the LGBT community, and he would replace the first openly sodomite Secretary of the Army, Patrick Fanning. And so we need to really pray and support to get people in that will implement the policy we all believe in. And I ask your prayers, and maybe you could talk to Frank Gaffney about how key it is, because even in the National Guard, we're getting this transgender training trickling down to us, taking up what little time we have when we're talking about wars in several places that we're not prepared to fight. So his name is Mr. Green from Tennessee, and he's spoken on the pro-life and the pro-family issues when he was a state representative or a member of the legislature there.
Is he? You say he is a candidate?
He is the nominee. And
he's the nominee?
Up in committee.
Okay, well, that
to be Army Secretary, and short of Jerry Boykin or perhaps Tom Cotton, he would be the best person we could possibly have as Secretary of the Army.
Okay, John, I will pass that word along, okay? And
God bless you, Sandy.
Yeah, I will do that. And so thank you for that. See, thanks so much. There are good men out there, and I have to say, I know that a lot of what I say is discouraging, and I'm, in spite of the bad stuff, I'm encouraged. And I'm really mostly encouraged because I think God heard the prayers of his people. So if we think that God heard the prayers of his people only on election day and now he's forgotten us, I don't think that's true. And I see a lot of good things happening. I see a lot of bad things happening, and I feel compelled to tell you those too. I can't just sweep them under the mat. And I would say the reason I was a little surprised that Mr. Green got through is because a lot of good people have been put forth for a lot of positions, and the resumes have ended up in the trash because of who's doing the hiring. And so it's hard for the good people to get through. I'm just telling you, it's really disgraceful. And a lot of that is laid again at operatives. I'm going to name names again because it just damn. Reince Priebus is in charge of hiring, and he has under him the guy who's really handling the office of hiring, one of John Boehner's staffers. And all the conservatives who were, you know, not on the same page as John Boehner are not getting a hearing. I think of Alan West. Colonel Alan West was a great pick for Secretary of the Army, but he wasn't picked. I think of Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee. He was on being considered for Homeland Security, but guess who didn't get, you know, chosen. So I'm just telling you, the people that are doing the picking are not the same people as I think if Mr. Trump had enough more hours in his day, if he didn't sleep at all, maybe he could actually take care of that problem too. But these are the kinds of things that are happening in Washington that people on the front lines are fighting to correct. So, all righty, let's go to Jordan in Texas. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. Now, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
What's on your mind this morning?
I just want to tell you real quick. I just wanted to tell you real quick before I get started. I'm a millennial, but I'm only millennial by age only. I certainly would not align myself with most of millennials in today's America. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of people that really have a skewed view of politics. But I wanted to talk, you posed the question about how we think Donald Trump is doing. And I know that recently you put a little article out, and it was close to a scathing report about some of his policies as lately, how they're leaning to the left. And I know that there's certainly some things, like I think about Obamacare, how he's wanting to repeal and replace, and I just want him to repeal it. I think a lot of people just want him to repeal it. But all in all, I think about Inauguration Day, he immediately sat down, and I don't know everything that he signed, but I know that he did two very critical executive orders to, you know, for one to try to get rid of Obamacare, and I forget what the other one was, but, you know, just like you, I was a Ted Cruz guy as soon as they started throwing names in for the race. So Trump was not my first choice, but when it came down to Hillary or Donald Trump, I knew that, there was no second option. It had to be Donald Trump. And as far as what I've seen him do, I am pretty happy. I mean, I'd have to give him probably, I think you were asking for letter grades earlier. I'd say probably about a B, B plus. I think there's some better things he can do, but I'm very pleased with what he's done so far.
All right, Jordan, that's I'll That's a good report from a millennial. And I hope you stay listening, and we'll talk about other things related to millennials. You can fill us in at a later date. But thanks for weighing in on that today. All right, let's go to Pat. And Pat is down in Texas, too. Good morning, Pat. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Pat.
Go ahead. Yeah. Trump is like a sheep amongst the wolves. There's nothing he could do here that's going to be okay. Nothing. Everything he does, they shoot it down. They run over him like a freight train. And you're right. But he's trusting people that he thinks are his supporters and his friends, his buddies, his compadres, Ryan. I don't know why he can't see through it. Maybe he's thinking he can change Ryan's thoughts. I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that? I don't understand. Ryan's phony. I mean, that's it,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, yeah. Pat, I don't know why Donald Trump turned around right after the election and embraced Paul Ryan and gave his approval, and because I think that people in the House were pretty much poised, many of them. They wanted Ryan to be stepped down, and I think it was a major mistake that the president allowed him to stay. I would say the same thing about James Comey. Major mistake to leave James Comey as the head of the FBI, because I don't think Comey is a friend to this president. I think he's very partisan. So you know what? Donald Trump is a businessman. And he is an expert at all things financial, things that you and I can't begin to comprehend. He's not an expert at politics. He is, you know, there are politics in terms of the workings of how people work together and negotiate and manipulate each other. He's not a fool. But there's a learning curve. And so maybe he's just learning. We're trying to fix this. And so let's just see what plays out. I read an article just a few days ago that Paul Ryan's approval ratings nationally are down so far. I mean, really down. I can't remember the number, but people are beginning to understand, and hopefully at some point there will be a change. I remember when Tom DeLay was Speaker of the House, and you see they tried to destroy Tom, and they pretty much did destroy him. But I remember when he was serving, he got things done, and he did things that were for the people. You can say what you will about, I don't know how you feel about Tom DeLay, I liked him. And, you know, he used to bring in speakers to the members of the House to nurture them. He had Chuck Colson come in and do a series of lectures, as I understand it, on his book, How Then Shall We Live, or something, the title's close to Francis Schaeffer's. I think it's How Then Shall We Live. And he was nurturing his members. And yes, he was hard on them. He was called the hammer. He lined them up and insisted that they vote in support of the president at the time, which was George W. Bush. But you never had a sense that Tom DeLay was trying to, had a different agenda than the conservatives. He was all about it, and so were the members of Congress at that time, at least enough of them, that they were doing some really good things. And so I miss that. It can come back again, and that's what we've got to work toward. But of course, ultimately, nothing happens apart from God's blessing, and so we pray for that, and we examine our own hearts that before Him, and we ask for something that we are righteous people asking. And so our lives are in His hands; they always were. But I think there is a lot to be optimistic about. Tomorrow, I'm going to do a different kind of show. It's the story of the 26th President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. I think you'll be inspired by it, so I hope you tune in. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.